God's gift to every single child of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is not something that you and I would ever want to look upon lightly, take for granted. Over there in John's Gospel and chapter 14, he says there, the Savior says, that is, in verse 16, this is really the promise of the Holy Ghost to his people. It's every bit as relevant now as it was then for us to understand the importance of what Christ said here. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The word there, another, meaning another of the same. And the word comforter really is paraclete in the original language. It is a word that means beside, or to come alongside. And that, of course, is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside his people. In other words, when it means another of the same, coming alongside, he comes along to be to you, Christian, and to me, what Christ was in the flesh to his people when he walked among them in the days that we're reading about. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. There never was a time in my lifetime when this truth has been more important for Christians to consider. With the high pressure of living today and all of the complex situations that we see in the world, and even among our own family circles, we find difficulties that are not easy to deal with. And hence we have in Northern Ireland at the present time a great deal of stress to be found on every hand. And stress was something that young Timothy, whom the Apostle Paul was writing to, Timothy had to contend with this, we believe, from very early on in his life. Paul is in prison as he's writing this epistle to this young man whom he had been instrumental in winning to the Lord. And it seems by his writing that Timothy is in some kind of spiritual danger. Now, I'm sure you know a little bit about Timothy, and you know that he was called to preach, and for whatever reason, he had become discouraged. He perhaps was timid, and the apostle had to remind him on another occasion. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Perhaps it was that someone older had sought to undermine him, and he had become very despondent and discouraged. But if you read in verse 6 there, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. And where it says stir up there, it literally means to rekindle the inner fire. It's possible for that inner fire, of course, even for us to burn low. And we have a responsibility as far as our responsibility is concerned. We have to stir up that gift of God that is within us. Of course, it's only God that can stir our hearts, but we have to fulfill our side of the responsibility and wanting to be stirred and desiring to be in that place where the fire is rekindled. And he speaks to him in a way, and I'm sure that you have read these epistles to Timothy and you've felt the tenderness in Paul's voice, and yet you have saw, as you looked at them, you have understood that the situations are serious and the Lord needs to help. And overall, when you look at the life of Timothy, we believe that stress was a factor certainly in him becoming discouraged. Remember when Paul said there in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. And it seems that through these epistles that if you were meeting Timothy, you would be feeling sorry for him. So I want this morning with you to give a title to the message, An Anchor in a Stress-Filled World. An Anchor in a Stress-Filled World. I'm not suggesting for a moment that every one of you suffer from stress all of the time, but certainly every adult here will know what it is. And all of us will come face to face with it sometimes. Some to a greater degree than others, and being a minister, I know I've spoken to men, grown men, who in the morning before they go to work, they're crying for no particular reason, it seems. And it's just one thing coming together with another, whether it is an employment or the situation there or something else, and it is bringing stress to their life. It's a very real thing. I know some of you, but I don't know your situations, but maybe you can identify already with what I'm saying. It is a stressful world. And Paul here, as he writes, he's writing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he's reminding Timothy in verse 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Maybe he had lost a little bit of discernment. Maybe just a tiny little bit of resentment was setting in, and Paul needed to remind him of the importance of Christian love. And certainly as regards power, maybe he felt that he just couldn't do it anymore. And Paul is saying, well, God hasn't given to you the spirit of fear, but here's what he has given to you. That's really what Christ was saying to his disciples back there in John 14. He was reminding them that while he would be leaving them, that he would be sending another of the same, and they would know him, he would be in them, and he would be with them forever. So as we look today at this title, I want you to notice, first of all, this is relevant that we have this anchor concerning anxiety. Concerning anxiety. Well, he says to Timothy here, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Of course, fear is a real thing, and it never goes away totally in this life. We face it when we're little children and right up until we grow. If we live until we're very elderly people, we face it right through and sometimes. But if we're not very careful, fear can become a slavish thing. And it can mark the decisions that we make in our life. It can dictate to us how we live. It can certainly steal away our joy. And it can kill off our enthusiasm and our zeal for the things of God and our love, say, for his house and the meetings and his people. And fear can be very destructive when it comes to all of these things. So we're looking here at the importance of this anchor in a stressful world regarding anxiety. Number one, regarding our testimony. Regarding our testimony itself. Now, Paul says to him, to Timothy here, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. I wonder, was he feeling a little bit withdrawn and that he was just finding it difficult to stand out as the Lord's? We're reminded in Proverbs 29 and verse 25 of something that we have all experienced as Christians, and we know it to be true. It says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. How much brighter and how much more vibrant we could be for the Lord if we didn't fear man. Not so much fear what he will do to us physically, but just fear in the presence of men to identify as the Lord's. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses 14, it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On your part he has evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. This is Christians sensing the Lord's presence with them as they seek to bear testimony for him and live for him. I know one gentleman, and quite often as he goes into his place of employment, some of the individuals who work there, they will say, well, he's waiting for you, referring to another individual in that place of work, and meaning that this individual is waiting for you, and this particular person He always is confronting this Christian with issues regarding the Bible and saying derogatory, coming out with derogatory comments and seeking to make little of him and to embarrass him and to discourage him. And a couple of others say often to this man, he's waiting for you today. Now that is not physical persecution as far as being harmed physically is concerned, but I'll tell you something, it's hard to deal with day after day. And however experienced you may be as a Christian, a situation that could eventually wear you down. And Paul here, he's saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It can bring anxiety. And that fear even to go to work because we know it's going to be there. Maybe in university this is happening. It could happen in any area of life. But there's not just, when we think of anxiety here, our testimony itself, but there is physical limitation. If you look at the life of Timothy here, you will remember that the apostle spoke to him on another occasion of thine oft infirmities. And he seems to be not only a timid young man and one who'd become discouraged, but he had his health issues. And perhaps while he was laboring for the Lord before this time, he had to contend with various physical situations. Paul did say to him, have a little wine for thy stomach's sake. At that time, he was trying to help him. Maybe it was a nervous disposition. I'm not sure what it was, but certainly the young Timothy here, he was brought to realize his physical limitation. And very often you and I can be like that too. It's all of the pressure of life. Sometimes we feel that, well, how much longer can I continue living like this for the Lord and being bright for him? I just can't do it. Because there's not just the thought of bearing testimony and being different. There's my limitation. I'm really feeling it. Really feeling the pressure. When I was a student, I remember going with a minister and another student. We were doing some outreach with that church in the summertime. And he brought us round to visit this elderly gentleman whose wife had fairly recently passed away. And we sat there and talked with him, a very pleasant and friendly individual indeed, and a very elderly man. And in the conversation with him before we left, he said, you know, wouldn't it be good if we could all have just a wee time of prayer together here? And we did that with him. And in the conversation with him before we left, he said, you know, he said, I know that my body's starting to let me down. And he said, but I know, and he said, it brings great gladness to my heart. He says, I know that I have heaven to look forward to. I know I have heaven to look forward to. Not very long after that, he too went to be with the Lord. But I've never forgotten that occasion when he was talking there about his realization of physical limits. And Paul here, speaking to Timothy, he speaks about that extreme situation, that is death itself, in verse 10. He says, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You would think, why does he need to go over that to Timothy? Maybe Timothy was suffering a little bit more from stress than we realize. And he had to remind him of something which seems to be a basic fact, that Christ hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, where it says abolished doesn't mean that it doesn't come. But Paul knew that humans, Christian or not, those who are born again, they still fear the mechanism of death. They believe that heaven is there for them, that the moment they pass away, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. But there's the mechanism of death. And the word abolished there is very interesting. It means rendered powerless. Rendered powerless. He's really saying to Timothy here, listen, Timothy, don't you be sitting worrying and becoming morbid and becoming withdrawn and becoming more and more discouraged. You're thinking about your physical limitation and even what if death itself and it comes to you, what are you're thinking in such a negative way here. Easy to be like that. You look around you in a broken world, see everything that's happening. It's very easy to find ourselves where Timothy was. There's also something else where anxiety is very prevalent, not just in our bearing testimony for the Lord and our thinking of our physical limitation, but also the thought of grieving the Lord. He says here in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." He's not ashamed. And he's just told Timothy there in verse 8, "Don't you be ashamed." Now, I'm not suggesting, because I don't know this, that Timothy was ashamed of the Lord, but maybe he felt he had grieved the Lord. Certainly he had pulled back in the work he was doing. And the thought of grieving the Lord can really have a very detrimental effect on a Christian's, I was going to say their joy, but that's true, but their whole life. And the thought of letting him down or failing him. Maybe someone's come along to you, young Christian, and they've given you an opportunity. And the opportunity seems exciting, or to hold great promise for you, but in your heart of hearts, you know it might grieve the Lord. A friend of mine in America was really, really good at ice hockey. And it got to the point where he was going to be playing at state level in ice hockey. He was so good, and they come to him and said, "You know, it'll mean playing on a Sunday." He said, "Well, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it." Now, many people would have jumped at the opportunity, but he right away got back and said, "I'm not doing it. This is as far as I go. And if it means me never playing at state level, so be it." Because he didn't want to grieve the Lord. Grieving the Lord brings anxiety. Dwelling on our physical limitation brings anxiety. Fearing to bear testimony and then feeling guilty about it brings anxiety. And isn't it so important then that in a time when this anxiety, and it is so prevalent, when this anxiety is knocking at the door, or even playing havoc in our lives, isn't it good to have the anchor that we're reading about today that Paul's referring to? That is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who draws alongside to help, and it can help you right now. Maybe you feel no one quite understands your circumstances. Well, as we sing in the hymn, Jesus knows all about our troubles. Knows all about them. Cast yourself upon him, as the word says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is an anchor. The Holy Spirit here is an anchor in a stress-filled world. We think of anxiety, but also, if I can move on here, we think of assistance in serving him, because he says to Paul, or sorry, to Timothy, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We're always reading about power, power to preach, and power to speak for him, and so on. But was he not speaking to Timothy here and say that he gives us power for Christ-like living? Christ-like living. And that's important. It's not something that comes naturally to us because we live in a world where there's sin all around us, but we need this power to make us vital and powerful witnesses for him. Doesn't mean you have to preach. Talking to a young man this not very long ago, and he never preaches, but he was in a place of work. And in his place of work, there were different people he was working with, and it was the usual talk about what they did at the weekend, and what where they clubbed, and the different things that went on, and drink, and all of that. And there were another, on that site, there were another group of workers who, many of them were from the Criggan in Londonderry, and generally seemed to be tough guys, hard men. And they noticed, and they had been very, very civil with this individual, and one of them said to him, actually, he said, "Are you not quite drinking at the weekend?" He said, "No." He said, "Why not?" And that was the opportunity he wanted. He was able to tell them, "I had come and trusted the Lord," and one of them believed it, and he was very encouraged by this. One of them must have been witnessed to by somebody else because he knew what he was talking about. He says, "I know what you mean about being saved and being born again. I've heard that." And he says, "That's why you don't go out clubbing at the weekend and drinking. And that's why you don't. That's why you don't go." And he said, "Yes, that's why I don't go." It takes power to live like that, because the world constantly says to you, young people, "Come with us, and we will do you the good, and to do you no good." But we need this power. We need this assistance in serving Him, whether it is in home, at home, or in the business, or even in the workshop. I know a man who has a little business, very quiet individual, and in a group of people, he wouldn't be one who certainly wouldn't be the center of attention, and he wouldn't be the life and soul of the party. But in his workplace that he owns, his testimony there is that no one who comes in there, whether they're young people brought up in a Free Presbyterian church or whether they're visiting Roman Catholic customers, whatever they are, no one ever gets out without being told of their need of salvation. And he will bring it round by talking about his work and saying, "I don't work that night because I go to the prayer meeting," and then he will go from there to why he goes to the prayer meeting. Before they know, they will be confronted with, they'll be told the gospel in a very careful way and a sincere and compassionate way. That takes power. I was talking to a man at a wedding there, and he said, "I used to hate the gospel." And then he looked over at his wife and her friend, and he said, them two won me to the Lord by their lives. They won me to the Lord by their lives. That's power. That's assistance in serving Him, whether it is in the home, in the workplace. I can tell you, and my time's going to run out on me here, when I was in Bridlington, most of you know I was there for 5 years in England, and there was a young fellow there who had got saved, and he was then at the school, and they were going to watch a film, a video, and it certainly wasn't appropriate for him to do that. And he went to the teacher, and in a very gracious way, he asked, he said, "Could I be excused from watching it?" And he explained why. And the teacher said, "Of course you can." And then they did an amazing thing. They said to him, "If you want, you can explain to the rest of the young people here why you don't want to watch it." And he did that. And he was shaking and frightened and thought, "Well, here we go. It's all over after this. I'm the talking point and the laughing point." And whenever he had finished, all the other young people gave him a standing ovation. God is no man's debtor. He honors them that honor Him. It takes power to do that. I'm not sure I could have done it, but he did it. He was 15. And they gave him a standing ovation. That is assistance in serving Him. And that's what it means here. He's not given us that spirit of fear. We've talked about that. Anxiety, it comes, but it's not from Him. Anxiety is something that is part and parcel of life. He's given us this power, this assistance in serving Him. But then we move on here. It says, and of love. That brings us to affection for others in the work. And the importance of this, again, cannot be overstated, because Christ Himself there in John's Gospel 13, He wrote this, or He said this to His people. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now that's hard to do. How can we love one another as He has loved us? His love is very great towards us. And yet He says here, "That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." It's as clear as that. And therefore, brethren and sisters, that this is obviously just so important, that you and I would love one another in the Lord. And over the years, I've said to my own congregation, I said, "Listen, you'll find plenty of faults with me. And every one of us have our quirks. And we've all different personalities. Some of us, some are short and some are not. And I mean by that, some are easily upset and others are not. And the Lord brought a Peter and a John together, and they worked very well for him. He brought you together, and you need to get above the personality thing. And you need to love one another genuinely in the Lord. Remember what the Bible says about charity, about the sounding brass and the tinkling cymbal, and how important it is then just to have that genuine concern one for another. Reading over there in the book of Romans, I think it was, you can read it yourself, I think it's chapter 5, just about the importance of this. Galatians 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. And we cannot display that fruit of the Spirit, that genuine affection one for another. On a human level, we could irritate each other. You go into any association, where it's a golf club or a fishing club or anywhere else like that, there's conflict, and sometimes it's because people simply irritate each other. You and I need to be bigger than that. You want to be bigger than that. I'm not sure I would have had a lot of patience for Peter. He's a great preacher, but he's often impetuous and forward and pushy, and he's a great man, but you need patience to work with him. And then the Lord dealt with him over the years and become greatly mellowed, and he gave us his two epistles, which are full of carefulness and gentleness and meekness, and he's a changed man. What love he had for the brethren. This affection is something that for each other in the Lord is something that we need to work on, and something that the Lord has given us that will stand out, and by this all men will know that you are my disciples. One other thing to mention, we're talking here about an anchor in a world that is filled with stress. There is the anxiety issue, then the assisting in serving, then the affection one for another. But then there is the ability to discern. He says here at the end of verse 7, and of a sound mind. It simply means ability to discern. If you get discouraged enough and begin to lose out, then eventually your discernment is flawed. You see things that are not there and fail to see things that are there. And Paul is just speaking to Timothy, remember, this is someone who had been out preaching, and he's saying, Timothy, you need to remember the Lord has given you the ability to discern. 1 Corinthians 2, just going to read a verse. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now that, we understand that, but that the world, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, their foolishness unto him. But you and I can, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. For the final verse of that chapter, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? So important for Timothy, so important for us. In days when there's change is gathering momentum, and that which was once unspoken of is now embraced wholeheartedly, do we not need discernment? Do we not need to pray for discernment for our young people? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is an anchor in a stress-filled world. I just want to finish off this morning by saying this. All of us can identify in some degree with Timothy. And maybe you can identify with the things that we have been saying. And your heart's desire today is, I wish I could know more victory in my life. Well, the measure in which you and I experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is exactly in proportion to the measure of our yieldedness to him. Exactly in proportion to the measure of our yieldedness to him and our appropriation of his indwelling presence to our own lives. Every day, taking up our cross and follow him. Casting our burden upon the Lord, knowing that he will sustain us. And going out in a world that is reckoning, fast reckoning for the judgment of God, going out with gladness in our hearts, serving him to the best of our ability, making a difference wherever we are. Remember the ladies that won the man to the Lord through their lives. Remember the young man last week, really good opportunity to witness to men out of the Craigan in Londonderry. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, an anchor in a stress-filled world. I trust the Lord will help you much in these days, that you will know victory and that you will know what Paul wanted Timothy to know, that the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And may the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this morning.